Well, good morning. It's a beautiful morning to be in the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
Are you thankful to be in the house of God with the body of Christ?
Amen.
Even the ones that kind of look sketchy.
Amen.
The one with the Patriots Brady jersey on, that's kind of sketchy. Be careful of him. Okay? It is a blessing and an honor and a privilege to be with the body in a building where God has blessed us to praise and to worship Him. Amen? Well, let's pray. Father, your Holy Spirit is with us. I pray He would be upon us, moving within us. And you know, God, I pray this often, so I'm going to pray it again this morning, is that somehow what we do in these few brief moments today will resonate outside these walls, but resonate past today. Because God, I don't want to just be here for a few brief moments. This is not the end of the story. This is a continuation. And I pray today, God, that we will surrender ourselves to the work of God, to the presence of God, to the movement of God. And we bless you when you honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, last Sunday morning we began a little bit of a series on the Sycamore Church. And I shared last week through the story of Zacchaeus how we arrived at the name, the Sycamore Church. And we looked at the part that says lifting people to see Jesus. And we looked at why to do that. Why? We arrived at our name through this story because the sycamore tree literally lifted Zacchaeus to see Jesus. It did. It performed its calling. It performed its duty. It performed its purpose. Zacchaeus had to cooperate by doing something, though, to climb that tree. He couldn't just stay on the ground and go, "That's a nice tree. It could lift me to see Jesus. It would lift me to see Jesus, but I think I'll stay down here instead of seeing the Son of God, the Savior, the one true Messiah. I got to do something." So last week as we looked at at our name, the Sycamore Church, and arriving from the story of Zacchaeus, lifting people to see Jesus. And I don't know if you gave that much thought this week. I really don't know. How much thought did you give to lifting people to see Jesus through your actions and through your attitudes and through your words? One of the greatest detriments to people not fulfilling New Year's resolutions or even goals, is this. They desire an outcome that they have no plan to get to. Okay? Now, I go to the Y during the week. I stop and drink some of the water. Okay? Every once in a while, you might throw a little on my shirt just to make people think I sweat it. Okay? But one of the things that's kind of unique two weeks into the new year is this. I really haven't seen anybody new. I go at the same time. I hang out with the same group of people so I can build relationships with them. I really do. This part, I'm being serious for a moment, okay? We walk around and we talk and we literally have had conversations that we don't see a bunch of new people this year. Kind of odd, kind of different. Again, I'm there for about an hour. So they could come the other 23 hours of the day. Actually, that Y is not open 23 hours. The other 12 hours that it's open. But I believe one of the greatest detriments to people not seeing a life change is this. They want to have the change without the engagement of the process, or to say it bluntly, doing the work. Doing the work. We live in a take-a-pill society. We live in a society that says, let me order that from Amazon or this website, let me take a pill, and I think I'll feel better. And all they're doing is masking that we're not engaging in what God's doing. This is the second Sunday that I'm looking at the Sycamore Church through the story of Zacchaeus. But today I want to hone in on the knowing Him and making Him known part. A long time ago in a far, far away place, God spoke to Dusty about this vision statement. Some might call it a purpose statement. Knowing Him and making Him known. If there's nothing else you remember from today, and most of you will remember very little, the fact is I'll remember very little. You know, most time during the week if someone comes up to me and says, "Hey, you said such and such on Sunday night," if you say so, I don't remember it, is this. Knowing Him and making Him known is not an event. It's a lifestyle. You should say amen to that. Okay? Knowing Him and making Him known is a lifestyle. It's not an event. Reading your Bible should be a lifestyle. It's not an event. It's an ongoing act of obedience to engage what God's doing. So as we get ready to read the story of Zacchaeus again this morning, we're going to look at it from a different angle a little bit. How do we know Him the Father and make Him known, the Father, through a relationship with Jesus Christ? Because we saw it, we witnessed it in this story of Zacchaeus. It impacted him. It should impact us. Let's begin. Let's read. Jesus entered Jericho, and He made His way through the town. There was a man named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus. He was too short to climb over or to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. He said, "Zacchaeus!" He said, "Quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and looked and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. Ah, the crowd. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and he said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost." Quick review. The story is found only in the Gospel of Luke, no other gospel. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, which basically means he made money collecting taxes, but he added a little to the top. He actually sometimes didn't add a little to the top. He added a lot to the top. But the thing about it is he wasn't taken from the Romans or the Gentiles necessarily. He was taken from his own people, a Jew taken from a Jew. That was despicable. That was unacceptable. In fact, that was really unforgivable. Zacchaeus was acting upon something that was causing him to sin against his own people. God did not like that. But God had a better plan, a bigger purpose, and a bigger plan than Zacchaeus could ever imagine. So Jesus is walking by Jericho one day, and he's on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified. And you will see that a few chapters later. You continue to read in the book of Luke today. As he ran into Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had made an effort. He needed to see Jesus. There's something significant about this story. There's a lot of things significant, but one thing I want to point out to you is this. Jesus had spent a lot of time in Jericho over the course of his ministry, coming and going. But apparently this time, Zacchaeus had a tug in his heart, a pull in his heart that said, "I need to see this man. I need to see this man that I've heard about." Maybe he had witnessed some miracles. We really don't know. But Zacchaeus was at the top of the food chain as far as the one who was making the money off other people. He'd become wealthy through thievery. He was a thief, basically what he was. And Zacchaeus and Jesus encountered. They encountered one-on-one, personally. And Zacchaeus had to do some things today. You can't make him known unless you know him. And when I talk to you today about knowing him, I'm not talking about because you can answer questions on Jeopardy. I'm not talking about because you can answer questions on some board game. I'm not telling you because you need to know more about the Bible just for information purposes. I'm talking about, have you encountered the living in Christ where it moves you out of a comfort zone to a level of comfort that only you can experience through a personal relationship with him? And if I said that too fast as this, has there been life changes occurred? And we're going to talk about that over and over because it's important that we engage Jesus the man, God the Father, as we come to know him. So this morning, we look at point number one, God's call to the Sycamore Church, God's purpose for the Sycamore Church, knowing him and making him known. And the first part we can see is this, seeking is required. Seeking is required. Look at Zacchaeus' life. He was along this path where there was a crowd of people and he needed to see him because he was short in stature, the Bible tells us. But he didn't just settle. He just didn't simply say, "I would like to see Jesus, but I'll just kind of look around the crowd." He said, "I need to see everything about Jesus. I don't just need to see the top of his head or make eye contact. I need to see him from the top of his head to the bottom of the feet." He encountered the living Christ. He wanted to see Jesus for who Jesus really is. In fact, he got above and away from the noise of life. And I want you to know, this may not be where you are, but this is the way I see our culture. This is the way I see myself a lot of times, and that is this. It's not what I see that caused me to miss Jesus. It's the noise that causes me to miss Jesus' announcement that he's coming. That I miss what he's up to so often because I'm allowing the noise of life to crowd out what he is doing. And then I think so often I'm caught with, "Huh? I didn't know that was you, Lord, speaking. I didn't know that was you moving. I didn't know." Because the noise drowned out the announcement that Jesus was doing something, that he was moving in my life. Seeking him was required. What are you willing to do today to get past the crowd, to get in view of Jesus the Christ, to encounter the living Christ, to encounter the Savior of the world? Zacchaeus moved, literally moved. He acted upon a desire to do something. I wonder how often in the past that Zacchaeus had wondered, I wish I'd seen Jesus the last time he had come through Jericho. But this time, he did something. He decided he needed to know him for himself. In spite of his faults, in spite of his deficiencies, in spite of that which he lacked, I got to see this man. So he decided that he would seek him. He was willingly leaving the crowd of life to move to a position where it became one-on-one. Now, I want you to think about something for your own life. Can you honestly say this morning that you're seeking and you're willing to move outside the crowd? Are you caught up in the current of life that takes life to, you go somewhere with life that's crowding out what God is doing and it's hard to seek Him? You know, this takes real effort, takes real work. Knowing Him, seeking Him. I want you, Lord. I want you, God. Zacchaeus was after Jesus. He was after him. He was pursuing him. The second one, responding is required. See, Zacchaeus didn't settle. He didn't stop. And he didn't waver. He had to respond, though. Jesus invited him to something that was an unknown. The next step was an unknown. Now, I want you to think about something for your own life, okay? All right? You can't just say, I heard God speak, and that's it. Zacchaeus responded to Jesus speaking to him. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, get off that tree. I need to go to your house. And the way the scripture reads is Jesus said it with authority. It was unmistakable. So in case there was another Zacchaeus somewhere around, he knew that God was talking to him. Jesus was talking to him. But a response was required. What if Zacchaeus had said, you know what, Jesus? I made a real hard effort to get in this tree. My legs got skinned up. My sandal fell off, and people are laughing at me. I'm not coming down right now, and my house isn't clean. The food's not ready. I'm not ready for what I know you're wanting to do in my life. That I'll just stay where I am. This was the effort I was willing to make. Zacchaeus didn't do that, though. He moved. He took action. He did something. Zacchaeus had to change his view of Jesus so he could see himself for how God saw himself. Zacchaeus, I want you to think about something. The Bible doesn't waste words. So if they're there, they're important. I have often wondered when I read this story, the Bible says he was small in stature. I would be willing to say he believed himself to be small in value. That he believed that he did not have a worth that was worth somebody else making the effort for him. So response showed a step of faith. I don't know what Jesus is up to, but I'm going to respond and see what's he up to. I want you to think about this in your own life today. A response is part of a relationship. To know him, a response is part of a relationship. I'm doing right now as I'm reading through the book of Mark, just reading through small sections of it. And one of the things I decided to do this year as I was reading through it is as I read very familiar passages, that I will highlight the words that are weird or odd or don't make sense to me. And examples of those might be something like, Jesus stood up. Well, why in the world did he stand up? So I highlight it. And then I think about it. And I don't always have some clear answer. But I know that one of the things that God is asking me this year is this. Dane, are you willing to trust me to take a few steps out of that which you already know about me? And it's a real challenge because God is asking me to respond. God is asking me, if I really want to know Him and really want to be really close to Him, then business as usual won't get the job done. And I believe as a congregation, business as usual will not get the job done. I believe God is asking that of us as a congregation. Are you willing to step outside some bubble of comfort that we have built for ourselves to really know Him? To know Him through experience. To make it a lifestyle, not an event. So responding is required. And then as we move on to knowing Him and making Him known, spending is required. Spending what? Well, let me ask you this question. What is he not worth spending on? What is Jesus not worth spending? Meaning, whatever he would ask of you, are you willing to say it's worth the cost and worth the price? Spending is required. But in this instance, I think what was required is that which is most valuable in our culture today. Time. Time. When Jesus says to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, come on down here, man. I got to go to your house to spend a little time with you." Zacchaeus responded, and they went, and they were together. I pointed this out last week, but I'll point it out again to you this week. One of the coolest things to me about this story is this. There's no recorded miracles except for the miracle of a life change to somebody who had been steeped in sin, who knew to be a thief, who did not have a self-worth that of themselves that was of God's opinion of themselves. Spending in the presence of, to know Him and to make Him known, requires an awareness of His presence, an awareness of His move in our lives, an awareness of His voice speaking. And maybe you've never think you've heard God speak. As I'm going to tell you this, every time I probably speak from now this point forward, you've heard clearly from God. You've absolutely heard clearly from God. It may be something as simple as this. Send a text message to so-and-so. I don't want to do that. I'm not asking you if you want to. I'm telling you to do it. Spend 5 more minutes in the Word of God. But God, I don't understand what I'm reading. God says, well, ask me for revelation and I'll help you understand it. I'll have you somebody that they'll call, you'll talk to, you can ask questions about. You've heard clearly from God going this new year. To know Him and to make Him known. Spending is required. Spending with Him. A withness. A togetherness. A oneness that we need. In fact, I have a challenge for you when it comes to that spending is required. You ready? It's going to be hard. Okay? In fact, I've already failed because I'm challenging you with something I've been challenged with. I've messed it up, but I'm going to keep trying over and over. You ready? How about if you made a list of your complaints versus the list of blessings? How about 2019? Why don't you think about when you get ready to complain, how can you flip it into a blessing? How can you say, God, I don't want... Oh, wait a second. God, You're with me. I don't understand all of it. God, I don't know what You're up to, but God, I'll be with You because being with You and where You're working is the fulfillment part of this relationship. Spending is required. But you know, when we spend, something else gets usually cut. Something else loses out. So this spending is required. We have to trust our Heavenly Father that as we invest in that relationship with Him, that He can take care of the details of things that we think we have to always take control of. You know, we love control in our society, don't we? We love it. And I think so often this spending is required that it gets difficult because we are required to take our hands off some things. Think about Zacchaeus. This encounter with Jesus was so powerful. Was so powerful that he did something crazy. He said, I'll give half back and I'll repay 4 times. We don't know his physical or his monetary value after this encounter, but I guarantee you this much, he had a lot less than he did before he met Jesus. Something was so moved in his heart. Jesus saw and spoke and did something just by being with him to the point where Zacchaeus says, I can't stay the same. I cannot stay the same. How about we do this year? How about we live our values and not our wants? Huh? You might want to write that one down. Type it in your phone. Do something. How about we live what we say we value and don't live out our wants? Huh? I want to hear some God stories this year because God is up to some great things. I know He is. I know He is. We share them on Tuesday nights. We share them on Wednesday nights. We share them on Sunday nights. We share them on Sunday mornings. I know God's up to great things, but He's not slowing down. He's not backing down and He's not giving up. He's still moving forward. He's still saving lives and He's still changing lives. Amen? We just got to get in with Him and say, God, I want in on this party. God, I want to spend some time with You and I want to spend time impacting people's lives and I want to see life change starting with me because I know that it flows in me to be out of me. And that's point number 4, that impacting is evidence. Impacting is evidence. Jesus showed up. Zacchaeus was a different man on the inside, and therefore there was evidence on the outside. Because one of the coolest things about this story is this. When Jesus says, salvation has come to this family. Salvation has come to this family. What a powerful statement. And He also calls him something very significant. He doesn't call him Zacchaeus. He says, this is a true son of Abraham. Why would Jesus even mention the son of Abraham? Well, one, Zacchaeus knew exactly what he was talking about because Abraham would have been the father of the Israelites. He would have known that. But in Genesis 15, 6, God says about Abraham, it was credited unto him as righteousness. You know what the word righteousness means? Just in layman's terms, keeping it very general, means right standing. That means now you stand before the Lord, not on your basis, but on your basis in belief of who He is, and He'll do what He says He does. Aren't you glad you weren't signing that, Priscilla? Your arms would be tired after that one, wouldn't you? Genesis 15, 6. Abraham, unto him was righteousness credit. Why? Because he believed God who he said he was and he would do what he said he did. And he believed him and it was credited to him. He stood in the presence. He could be close. Impacting is based upon an evidence that says God has really done something in my life. My tongue won't speak the same words. My mind won't think the same thoughts. My heart won't feel so torn and damaged that God is healing and God is moving. That there's an impact in our lives. Because this year we're going to live our godly values and not our wants. We're going to decide to not be complainers, but we're going to be blessers. That knowing Him and making Him known is a privilege to join God in what He is doing. And this morning, as you think about your life, as I think about my life in 2019, I'm telling you, I'm guaranteeing you, I'm proclaiming that God is up to more than you or I can possibly imagine. The only thing that I think He's asking of us this morning is this: will we have faith to join Him in our part? I believe we're all world changers, but we only change our part of the world. And I believe that God is inviting us to do that. Is it difficult? Yeah, it could be. It might require getting up a little earlier. It might require a little time on our knees. It might require a little fasting. It might require a little crying out. It might require a little anger at evil. It might require, and then you fill in the blank. But the status quo, God will not allow us to rest. As long as He's calling us to something higher. And in this story, we see Zacchaeus, that in just a handful of scriptures, they went from a man who was all about himself to a man that was all about following Christ and following God and His purpose and His plan. It's not known for sure, so I'm just giving you someone's guess. It's not in the Bible, okay? What happened to Zacchaeus after this story? I always ask that. You read these biblical accounts where Jesus encountered so-and-so. What happened to these guys and these girls after this? Well, history says a possibility, not necessarily the possibility, is that he moved out of Jericho. He got out of Dodge. And he moved to the coastline, but he became the leader of a church. And you know what? Whether or not that's true or not, because like I said, that's somebody's version of history, okay? I do know, according to the Bible, that he saw life differently. That he saw life very differently. So I ask you this morning, are you knowing him through religion or relationship? Through the life you're currently living, who are you making known? Remember, values and wants? And then I asked this last Sunday, and I kind of like the question because I'm all into uncomfortable. What's your commitment level to this body of Christ? What's your commitment level to this body of Christ? Look at those for just a second. There's a gentleman, his name is Scott Harrison. You can look this up later. He runs an organization called CharityWater.org. He's a follower of Christ. In the late 90s, Scott's, I think he's 43. Grew up in church, had a good religion, and God blessed him with a very unique kind of job. He became a nightclub manager in New York City. Yeah, I agree with that, oh Lord. He didn't invite people to Sunday school. He had addictions. Everyone you can name, he had them. But God has a sense of humor. Scott said, I don't need the church. I'm going to go do my thing. He hung out with some pretty influential people in New York City. I won't bore you with the whole story again. Scott Harrison, CharityWater.org. You can watch an online testimony of him. He spent about 10 years being a nightclub manager in New York City, getting to know a bunch of wealthy people and people of influence. Then God said, enough is enough. Scott decided he'd volunteer as a photographer on one of the medical ships that sail around in the Mediterranean or off the coast of Africa where they bring patients and they do work on people that cannot get medical care, very serious surgeries. He was a photographer. And he decided to pay attention to his own pictures. And he asked this question. Remember I said, Charity Water? He asked this question, what makes so many of these people so sick? What's going on? And he started hearing the same thing over and over and over. Dr. Carey can speak to this. Unclean water. Drinking from the same place you go, the bathroom. Ugh, that's disgusting, isn't it? And so he spent 2 years on medical ships taking pictures, hearing these stories over and over and over and over. And finally, he said, I can't take it anymore, God. I can't take it, God, anymore. I got to do something about it. God, what can I do about it? I don't know what to do, God. God said, who was in your life prior to going on these medical ships? He said, I got all these people, these alcoholics, these drug addicts, these addicted to pornography. I got all these people in my life, God. How can you use them? He said, if you trust me, I will show you what I can do. So now, at age 43, about another 10 to 11 years later, he started over hundreds of wells that are clean water, and he has raised over $1 billion. Do you know who he went back to first to get the money? All those people. And you know what they wanted to know? The same question. I guarantee you, every single time Zacchaeus walked up to somebody and said, here's that money I stole from you. I guarantee you, he heard a version of this question. Why are you doing this? Why would you do this? What happened to you? Why are you so different? And just like Scott Harrison, he says, well, let me tell you about somebody I know. Let me tell you about somebody that changed my life. Let me tell you about somebody who can change your life, that you don't have to live in that pit, that you can see life differently. Zacchaeus had influence, but his influence, I believe, multiplied by his surrender to God. So I ask you those questions again today. Are you knowing Him through religion or relationship? Through the life you're currently living, who are you making known? And what's your commitment level to this body of Christ? And then I'll give you one more scripture. Colossians 1:27. You know, this is one of Billy Graham's favorite scriptures. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's us. That's us. Knowing Him and making Him known. So as you evaluate, as you allow God to stir up on your heart, what is He stirring this morning? This story of Zacchaeus is pretty straightforward, I think. To know Him and to make Him known. This question's not up there. How are you living your life like there's another option? How are you living your life like there's another option? I meet with a gentleman every Thursday, most Thursdays. And he and I are sitting there and we're kind of doing that iron sharpening iron thing where we're talking about life. And it's funny. One of our questions we ask each other all the time, it's a simple question. In fact, it's probably a childish question, actually. It's a little bit of this. What are we doing with all the stuff that God's stirring on our heart? I said, you and I can look at each other all the time and say, God's doing this and God's doing that, but what are we doing with it? What's God asking you to do with what He's stirring on your heart today? I'm going to pray for us, and then guys will be down here. You can fill out your cards and your envelopes. You know, guys, the great thing about today is it's the day that the Lord has given. But we get to choose whether or not we can be good stewards and good servants of it. And I don't know what that looks like in your life. So let's just pray. Let's hear what God's saying. Father, I think about how you're speaking through this story, Father. I want to thank you for your faithfulness to speak through this story. I want to thank you for your faithfulness to speak, period. God, is you know us. And you know us very, very, very well. I thank you, God, that you love us so much that you did something so we can be close to you. God, I pray today that you would desire, that you would stir in our hearts a desire to be close to you, a want to be one as to be as close to you as possible. God, I don't want to know more about you. I want to know more of you. But God, I know that often to have that happen, that means more of you means less of me. And God, often you start with the parts of me that I don't like being less of. So God, I pray again and again. God, I cry out, have mercy. Have mercy. God, you love us so much. You care so much about us. God, can you change our vision? Can you change our hearts? Absolutely. And I'm praying you do that today.
The altar's open. You can bring your cards, your envelopes. Guys will be up here. Regina will be up here. Rick. Lord, we just pray this time would stir us according to your will and purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Continue to pray. I'd encourage you about the cards and the envelopes. I always say thank you for those that are so faithful to fill out prayer cards, because we do join you in prayer, thanksgiving, and praises every Monday morning, unless that's a holiday. Then we join you on Tuesday morning, okay? So we do that, but I do thank you for allowing us to partner with you. Now get ready to pray for us. One of the things I want to pray is that God would not let up until we join Him step for step, perfectly in alignment with what He's doing. Father, that's my prayer, that we'll join you step for step. God, you will not be in a hurry, and you will not be slow. So God, help us not to be in a hurry, and help us not to be slow. Because God, you're up to more than we know. And God, you're up to more than we know in our personal lives. God, I pray that faith will not be a word that we just throw out there in hopes that it's true. It's true because the one we place our faith in is true. And you are faithful. And you are forever. And I thank you today, Father, that I'm not going to do anything today that keeps you from loving me any less than you loved me before I was ever created. And as we go from this place, may we honor you and praise you and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, thank you.